This episode is going to be pieces of the past few weeks of my life. Things that have happened that at the time I wanted to get out. So much has happened around that. It's just taking it away from me. And these, you know, few things that normally I would delete it if too much time has passed. But now I'm getting pressured to put the episode out, you know, if I want to lose everything that I, you know, kind of worked so hard to get. Just need to get back on the regular schedule. Getting back on the regular schedule with the podcast means life has to get back on the regular schedule, and that just doesn't happen. You know, as this episode goes along, you're going to hear, you know, two stories of what has happened, but all that happened yesterday, all in the matter of a few hours, you know, it really sums up a lot of what I go through. And I'm not trying to cry, so don't get me wrong. Don't hear me saying that I go through so much. I'm not doing that. What I am doing, it's just shedding light on my own personal perseverance, as I could say. How I'm willing to push and continue to fight through things, even when the odds are stacked, even when my days seem like they're longer than 24 hours. Still find a reason to continue to try to be a beacon, continue to be a soundboard, continue to be whatever light I can be. Yesterday started off as any other day. Went to work. I knew I had a long day ahead of me. So I was just hoping that the people that I can count on at work continue to be that. And they were, and they are, people I can continue to count on. But certain things that happen, I always try to look deeper into just that. Like, I don't see it as, okay, this happened. Try to look deeper into things. I'm going to try not to be too personal as to put the person out there, but certain things just have to be told. You know, I hear commotion, and I'm being called, like, from a ways away, a little bit away, so that you have to scream to get me to hear you. And this person that I work with, he was arguing with another woman earlier last week. He was arguing with an older woman, and he almost fought her. Like, this woman was 70-something years old, and he, I think it's 34, 35. He almost fought the woman. Just over some ignorance, over some, you know, just, she was waiting in line too long, or she just had a question, and I guess he figured he didn't want to answer it. Fast forward to yesterday, another instance, he's arguing with the woman back and forth, and then some words get said, motherfucker this, bitch that, this and this. So this particular person, this man chooses to run around the counter, and before he can get to the woman, she's younger, but she's small. She doesn't, you know, bring a threat. You know, all you have to do is just say, you know, say one thing and just move on. And what I try to tell people all of the time is just don't let them win. Just let them have this battle. You know, don't try to go back and forth because it can get bad. So he proceeds to try to jump in this woman's face. But he had already alerted me, hey, come help, you know. Get this, he shouldn't have said what he said, get this bitch, and that's what started it. Well, that wasn't what started it, that's what blew it up. So I get around there, and he looks at me, and looks me dead in my eye, and he said, you're not going to stop me from putting these women in their place anymore. So immediately, I had to usher him out the store. I was like, no, you got to go. You got to leave. Just go home. Go home. Just go home. So I'm trying to get him out the store while trying to listen to him, but I'm also trying to get him away from this woman. And even though a lot of people heard, you know, what he said, this and that, I heard somebody in the background say, oh, he beats women. that thought crossed my mind too, but I, like I said, I had to get him out the store. So we're walking. Oddly, it's odd that his wife is already in the parking lot screaming, "Where's the bitch at?" That was odd because only 5 minutes had passed. But anyway, I get him out in the parking lot and talk to him for a little bit more. The next thing I know, he's going about his way. I come back in the store. I'm trying to make sure the situation is calmed down from the customer and this and that. About 5 minutes later, the security guard comes rushing up to me saying, yeah, he circled back around in the parking lot, saw the lady standing there, you know, start screaming this and that, "I'll fuck you up," this and that. Then the lady had a gun. And luckily nothing escalated from that, but that was a scary situation. But luckily, I was there to sort of calm it down. Then came, you know, another part of my day. A friend of mine, you know, a co-worker friend of mine, he's been going through some tough times. Me and him have shared an uncertain similarity. We've both lost a child, you know, stillborn. And that hurts. It really does. His is fresh. Mine is 21 years old. But I still carry that wound with me. That wound still, it hasn't healed and it will never heal. And just talking with him and even praying with him, hopefully the words that I said and the, you know, the time that we prayed and I held him, hopefully that resonated. And it still resonates with him, you know, on this morning as well, that even though it's still fresh in your mind, you know, you still have other children, you still have your wife to lean on, and sorry about that. You still have your wife to lean on and she still needs you. But that's also a part of the reason why I pray for him. And, you know, like I said, without getting too personal, because I really don't want to do that. The last story I told you I could care less about because that was just ignorance. But this one is kind of tough. So just know that, you know, I was at work and, you know, I pulled him in my back room and prayed over him. You know, he shed tears, I shed tears, and it was just a moment that he needed the release. You know, I even reached out, you know, I said, if your wife needs anyone, if you need anyone, just try to find it in your heart, you know, to just talk to her and say, hey, I got this person, he's been through something similar, him and his wife, maybe, because you never know what a person needs to say or needs to hear, you never know. And then later in the day, we're sitting around, we're talking, just laughing, joking, having a moment. And I get this person comes up to me and he says, all he says, this is all this man told me. Oh, she fell out over there. She fell out. People. Purpose. Patience. I want to start this episode off by saying rest in peace to two real, real close personal friends of mine. One was a 10 plus year family friend, the other almost 30 years. And I, for one, really love to let the people in my life know their value. So it's not lost upon them if we ever, you know, lose contact or go some time without seeing each other. And I know their value to me and my family wasn't lost. They know what they meant. Not only to me, but themselves. And I'm not saying all you need is one person to tell you how special and beneficial you are, but sometimes that one person can really do justice for you. Surely make you feel like you can take on the world if you got someone solid in your corner, you know? It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt to lose a person in the physical, to lose a person in the physical form, if you didn't understand that, because it does. But as I've said time and time again, if you cherish the moments and the memories, and know that they're in a better place, if that's how you see things, and in some cases, they're not hurting anymore. They're not suffering anymore. You look at it like that as well. There's always something taking me away from getting back to what I love to do, what I feel is a passion of mine. But you all understand. Real life happens, and it affects me. You know, I've had my moments to grieve, and the one friend of mine who I've had for almost 30 years, his home going, as we call him, isn't until next week possibly, but really hasn't hit me because I haven't seen him in a while. You know, he was on an unfortunate phase in his life, you know. Still had a good heart. So I asked that their spirits watch over their loved ones, especially the children, especially the grandchildren, who may feel a little lost at the moment, but just know that. Just keep the memory. Cherish the moments. So I'll see y'all again. Get this episode started. Like I said, I've been affected by the passing of my friends and just work, you know. A lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of time being put into my job, and it's worth it. It's working out. I knew coming into it, I was gonna have to put a lot of myself into it. And really show the people that I work with that, you know, it doesn't have to be stressful. We can have fun, we can laugh, you know. It doesn't have to be as tensed as it can get, you know. You know, I see it getting a little easier for us, so to speak. You know, but as I said, this episode is going to be filled with, you know, it's going to have some good things. It's not going to always just be a downer, so to speak. But just know, let's get this one started. I've been reading a book called Cry Like a Man by Jason Wilson. It's been taking up a lot of my time because I feel every part of what I'm reading. You know, we as men, we suffer. We suffer a lot. Because we're taught not to show emotion, man up, walk it off, this and that. You seem soft if you cry, especially if you come from, where I come from. I know a lot of people have it harder. A lot of people have went through so much more than myself. A lot more pain, anguish, depth, whatever the case may be, but it still doesn't mean it doesn't affect you the same, and it doesn't hit you deeply. I've had issues with my father as recently as a couple of weeks ago that I wish would go away. People have told me I need to confront him about my issues, but if I confront him about my issues, that'll just bring that pot to a boil and it would explode. The book that I'm reading that I'm talking about now had a small little sentence that said you should be able to pour and not explode. Meaning, you shouldn't keep it all inside you. It's okay to cry. I know we hear that. And some of us see it as if something like happens to someone you love, if a loved one passes away, it's okay to cry then. No, it's okay to cry just when you're feeling emotion. And he speaks on plenty of issues in this book that all right, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I see a, I don't mean to just jump completely off subject, but maybe I really should try to record in the house. That's a huge possum. Anyway. Gosh. Yeah. That thing is huge. Yeah, I'm gonna need you to go that way, sir. Yeah, I call it a possum, sir, because it's about the size of my leg. But anyway, let's move on. It's okay to cry. We go through so much. As men, and I'm only speaking from a standpoint of a man because I can't speak from any other standpoint, honestly. You know, you all know that. But it's okay to show emotion. It's okay to be vulnerable. Okay to be sympathetic. It's okay to it's really honestly okay to be dominant if you need to be, because it's like in the book that I'm reading, it's okay to be dominant because if God or whatever you believe in, but I, you know, tend to believe in God myself. If God made you dominant, be dominant. But be dominant in a way that people can see your dominance, not in like the physical form, but in the emotional form. You're in control of things, so to speak. You know, as the saying goes, you're either humble or you're not, so to speak. You can't play on both sides of the fence. I myself tend to play on both sides of the fence. So I'm a walking contradiction in a way. You know, every day of my life, I'm either, oh, you're too aggressive, or you're too soft. These people will eat you alive. People have taken advantage of you, you know, so to speak. Or either, I had a very funny conversation that hit me yesterday, that I don't look like I eat cheese fries, which is what was told to me by a pretty good person. Pretty good person who I'm coming to know. A lot of good people at this new store that I'm working at. A lot of them. But it wasn't. It was a joke. But I sat there and I thought for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. why would you say I look like I don't eat cheese fries? She's like, well, you just seem so, you know, her words were bougie. I was like, shit, how do I come off as bougie when other people see me as hard, so to speak, and I'm not trying to come off as that, but other people see that. They see the exterior and they think certain things. Other people see me as introspective, I heard, or, you know, just a lot of different things instead of one main, so to speak. And that's why I say I live on both sides of the fence. And I guess that's why I go through so many different emotions, because I don't know how to control them. I don't know how to control when I need to. I don't know how to be dominant when I need to, other than when I see someone, you know, needing protection, so to speak, I step in and I'll say something. Or, you know, where I work, me and this woman were talking about, you know, what she was cooking for dinner, what she wanted to cook for dinner. You know, she was like, do you have any ideas and stuff like that? But this man was creeping, like, a little too close to her. And she was, like, sensing it, and she was sort of clenching up. And I spoke to the gentleman, and I said, sir, can you, you know, scoot back a little bit? You know, give her her distance. And he looked at me, and he gave me the look like, he sort of motioned at, you know, the way that she looked. And I said, sir, you know, just scoot back, you know, just scoot back, give her space. And she looked at me and she said, thank you, you know, because, and, you know, after the gentleman walked away, I guess he was just standing there to see her. She told me, you know, I didn't know if I should say something, because if I did, I didn't want to start an altercation. And I was like, and I understand that. But you still should have that right to, you know, say something without fear of any sort of backlash. Stand up for yourself, so to speak. And then it come cases where I don't say anything and I wish I had of. So you're either or you aren't. You have to be what you are at all times. So you don't get confused. So you don't have moments where you want to show emotion and you don't. You want to do something and you don't. That eats you. That eats away at you. And coming to understand that it's okay to be. And I've said that plenty of times. It's okay. You shouldn't fear who you are or what you are or what you bring to life. Your existence, to those around you shouldn't fear that. As long as people get, you know, get some sort of strength from you, some sort of positivity, some sort of light from you, you should show it at all times. But like I said, speaking from a male point of view, we don't. And a lot of it is deep rooted with things that happened when we were children. Maybe it's an absent father. Maybe it's a father who was too dominant. Maybe it was an absent mother, or, you know, the same, a mother who was too dominant, or a family who was too dominant, or you had to grow up fast and you didn't have time to cry. I don't have time to cry. I got to be a man. I got to be a woman at an early age. But you see how that can cause harm later on in life, when you need to show emotion, when you need to be vulnerable, especially with those around you, and you don't know how to. You don't know how to be emotional. You don't know how to be vulnerable. You want to love, but you can't, because of fear that you're going to get taken advantage of. Or you're going to be treated the same way your father was, or your mother was, or your aunt, uncle, whoever, because they loved. You know, saying goes, show no love to get you killed. That's true in a lot of cases. Like I said, especially where I come from, you show love, you're an easy target. But there's also a saying, it's a reason why I'm quiet. You don't want to see why I keep the volume down. So you you see how conflicted I am with, should I be dominant? But it's a different type of dominance. I don't want to dominate physically like you would on a football field or something like that. It's a different type of dominance when you dominate with your emotion, when you dominate with your compassion, when you're not going to be kept quiet by anything or anyone around you. Your passion will show your love for the Lord, or your love for whatever will show. You shouldn't be quiet about who you are. And that speaks volumes towards a lot of things, especially these days with everyone being, well, it starts off as confusion on who you are internally. Then once you figure that out, you don't want to run your parents away or run your friends away or just run whoever away, because you're coming into who you are, and you may hear derogatory words about certain people, certain groups of people, but you're one of those people, but they don't see you as such. Or you have a friend who's one of those people, but if you come out with that friend, they're going to, oh, you hanging out with them, you can't hang out with us, something like that. No, but you should be loud and proud of whoever you are, whatever you feel, however you live, however you love. Don't hide it. This book also spoke on, I'm still, to this day, I haven't quite read the Bible in full. I haven't read the Bible, and I'm 38 years old. I'm not proud of that. Even though I did make a comment on Instagram a few weeks ago, it was a question, what's one book that all people should read? Everyone ran through a litany of books, but the one book that I said, the Bible, simple as that. I got so much hate. No, that's not the look. It's not what you should read, pimp. Read the Quran. Bible is full of lies and this and that. And I also got love too for speaking up, but I've never read it myself. But the one thing that really stuck with me, and I even have it tattooed on my arm, just one Bible verse that I always remember. Give me one second. I know exactly. I want to be able to give it. It is Book of John, chapter 11, verse 35. It's Jesus wept. And I have 1135 tattooed on my arm, and it shows that if the creator, person, a being that shouldn't be afraid to be vulnerable, shouldn't be afraid to feel, does. Cried over his friend, who he eventually brought back to life, but still, that person meant so much to him that he cried. And it was such a sight to see Jesus crying. And if that can happen, and if we feel that we're created in his image, if we are God in God's image, why are we so afraid of our emotion? Why are we so afraid? Good morning. Why are we so afraid of who we are? Why are we so afraid to be vulnerable? Why are we, as men, afraid to cry? If Jesus can cry, so can I. Because as I said earlier, it's better to pour than explode. And I know even on the last episode, I got it kind of deep, and I kind of showed a different side. And honestly, after I did that episode, I cried myself, because I've never been that way. True, I'm vulnerable. True, I'm emotional, but I've never really expressed it this way on this podcast. But as I've said, it's okay. It's okay to cry over lost loved ones. It's okay. It's okay to cry over loved ones. It's okay. I even had a friend of mine from that same job. Last week, he came up to me and he said, Harrison, I was sorry for being a dick towards you yesterday. And I said, don't worry about it. You know, things happen. You know, it's just life. And he asked, can I talk to you about something? He said, I feel I can talk to you about something. And he said, my wife had a miscarriage. She was 5.5, 6 months pregnant. And I don't know how to feel. And I told him that it's okay because I myself went through the exact same thing. And, you know, my wife, well, then girlfriend, now wife, was 4.5, 5.5 months pregnant, and we lost our daughter. Our daughter. And that was 21 years ago, and I still feel it. I still hold a blanket. I still look at a picture. I still cry over my daughter not being here. I told him it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to allow that to show. It's okay. Don't hide from that, so to speak. He looked at me and he said, I felt it was right to talk to you. That still in itself scares me, y'all. It really does. But I'm going to continue. Made it to work, you know, get through with this day. Hopefully it's not too long, too bad. We're going to continue. Hey, good morning, man. Nothing much. So where did I leave off? Sorry, I had to actually begin my commute to work. It's like 5 something in the morning. I'm sorry, I'm really trying to train myself to not say as much, not say certain words. Just get straight to the point, so to speak, anyways. All right, I got it. He came to me and he said she fell out back there. Yes, something along those lines. It was very vague what he said, because he walked up to me and said, hey, she fell out back there. And I looked at him and he just walked away. So instead of trying to figure out what he, you know, who or where, I just started running through the store, looking up and down the aisles. And I see this woman, unfortunately, laying in a those motorized wheelchairs, motorized carts, up against her husband's leg. And he's looking at me with fright in his eyes. And I motioned, you know, another coworker to, you know, get the manager. And I called, you know, over the intercom for, you know, emergency. But luckily, one of the lights that I found at my job, beautiful person, she was standing right there. She was immediately on the phone and everything and just calming the whole situation as she does. And as I was able to help her husband lift her out of the chair and get her on the ground safely, he exhaled, and we're trying to get information out of him to give to the, you know, paramedics, so we can better help her, so we can know what to do, what they can know what to do. And all I did was just make sure she was calm and laying on his leg. And, you know, manager came in with something to hold her head, because unfortunately, well, I can't say unfortunately, but fortunately. The reason why I said unfortunately is because it happens and you just don't want it to happen. But, you know, you should always know what to do in emergency situations, whether someone needs CPR, someone's having a seizure or something like that. But she kept clutching at her chest. And even though she was having a seizure, she kept clutching at her chest, and she was in pain in her chest. And just trying to get her to calm down, but still, I was still focusing on him. I was focusing on him and his reactions, and he needed us, because he didn't seem prepared, you know, for that. Maybe they have someone else in their life who is better equipped at these situations, maybe a child or something like that, who's better equipped at handling it, because he looked like he was just getting off work. So maybe they have a child or another sibling or something there who's better equipped at helping her, because he just didn't look like he was, like I said, equipped enough to do it. He couldn't answer certain questions. It could have been the shock. It honestly could have been the shock, but we were still, you know, there to give him the support that he needed to better serve her. So she got the help that she needed. And then I get back to work, and I'm still trying to, good morning. And I'm still trying to gather myself from the day, you know. One thing kept hitting in my head through all of these situations, whether it was the person that I work with that just seems volatile, but he also seems like he's had a lot of trauma there dealing with women. I've heard some things, and I just haven't had the chance to talk to him. I've talked to him a little bit about it, but not enough to where we can actually find a breakthrough and try to get him help. And then talking to my other coworker, who unfortunately is going through that situation where, you know, he lost a child who you prepare your life for, all of a sudden bottom falls out, and you're scrambling, you're struggling, and he doesn't know what to do with his wife, but he also didn't know what to do with his emotion. And then the gentleman who was dealing with his wife having a seizure and a slight heart attack, he didn't know what to do. He was stuck. He was caught. Like I said, it could have been the trauma. It could have been the issues of that. He was scared. Tie all of that into the book that I'm reading by Jason Wilson called Cry Like a Man. Certain things happen in your life where you need to let the emotion out, but us as men, we don't. We always want to seem like we can handle every situation. We always want to seem like we can. We're stronger than everything. We can move everything. We're well equipped for any and everything that happens. What if you aren't? What if at that particular moment in whatever, with whatever is happening, you need to break down? You need to allow certain emotions to just take hold, instead of trying to just beat them down deep down into your being that you think they aren't there. They're there. It's like I told that same particular person, you know, just a few days prior to yesterday's incident, when he had another incident where he almost attacked another woman in the store. And I'm like, what's wrong? He was like, nothing. You just gotta keep them in their place. And I'm like, that's not an attitude to have. You know, and I was trying to tell him that every situation isn't, oh man. Fire, they evacuated everybody. It's an upscale building. And I say upscale because it kind of is. It's a nice looking building. But had a small fire, they had to evacuate everyone. But anyways, they're all safe, it seems. But anyway, you know, when I was telling him that, you know, that's not the attitude to have. And I was trying to get to the root of it, like, what happened? You know, what happened to you to give you this attitude? Because there's always a root. There's always a beginning. There's always something that we try to suppress, especially when you have an attitude that you need to keep them in their place. You need to, you know, because I've heard that he's possibly been an abuser at times. And trying to get to that, and I was just saying, you don't need to be that way with every situation. Sometimes you can just have a calmer mind about things, maybe walk away instead of having a need to feel you need to discipline in that sense. You know, as I was, you know, telling them that if you ever feel that way, you know, take my number, give me a call or whatever. I mean, we could go out, you know, find one of these boxing gyms and just get that aggression out in another way. You know, but it may or may not help because he possibly lost his job. I mean, the way that he had that outburst, I honestly don't blame my managers if they do decide to let them go. I don't blame them because they was talking to me about it yesterday. Like, what should we do? You know, how would you handle the situation? Like, I'm not equipped enough to answer that question. I'm only a department manager. But anyway, you know, I hold weight and I need to realize that. But As I see it, we need to know what to do with our emotions. We need to know what to do with certain feelings. We can't just not express. So many of us just, I don't need to cry. I don't cry. I've heard everything. I don't cry. Why cry? I don't want to show weakness. You can't show weakness. You're soft if you cry. I don't read books. What you reading the book for? What you reading the book for? What you trying to learn? You went through school, this and that. I've heard so much. The one thing I realize is that experience is a great educator. It's great. So if you want to learn something, go hands into it, all hands into it. You know, fully devote yourself into that craft, into whatever it is that you want to do, and actually get experience with it. You know, not everything is in a book. Sometimes you have to go through things to learn. Sometimes you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to learn something. You can't read a book and learn how to change a carburetor. You can't read a book and learn how to, you know, rehab a kitchen or something like that. You have to get your hands dirty. You have to. You have to, you know. You can't learn how to cut hair, be a barber, learn how to do hair, a beautician, or whatever. Learn how to be the dentist, whatever it is, you need experience. You need it. I myself want an experience in kinesiology. I wanted my degree in kinesiology, and I only thought if I just took this course, I would have it. But you actually have to get out there and go trial and error. Even with that, even with learning the body, learning the movement, stuff like that, you have to have experience. But I understand with experience comes heartbreak, with experience comes uncertainty, because you're going to go through that with whatever it is that you go with. whatever journey life, wherever life, I ain't even editing that part out. Wherever life takes you, you're gonna need experience. It's just a given fact. So hopefully you understood why I sort of connected the segments. And hopefully it made sense, first of all. Hopefully it made sense. Just so you can sort of hear all that has happened, all that I've been through, and you know, I'm still on the same journey. I know we're all still on this journey together. Whether you hear my voice or not in the new episode, or whether we've had a deep discussion about what you're going through, what I'm going through, or just what happens in general. We're still in progress, even when we feel we've accomplished certain things. We still have new goals. We still have new things to attain in life. As always, people, purpose, persons. Persons is a podcast.